Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are open. We invite your call to 844-322-2742. With a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Life is tough, and it's tough for every one of us. I don't think there's anyone that lives on Easy Street. You know, we look at people that have all the money in the world, and we think that they just have a life of ease and that sort of thing. But I've yet to meet somebody that is up in that upper echelon that has an easy life. There's all kinds of things that hit us. No matter where we are in life, no matter what our economic status is, life is just tough. And every day, new worries fly at us from every single direction. And we have all kinds of concerns, you know, how to pay for college, how to retire, how to put the next meal on the table.
How to get my air conditioner fixed.
All of these sort of things. And it's just this world that we live in is just a perfect pot where anxiety can bubble up and brew and form inside of us. And yet in the midst of this, if you're reading your Bible, you go to the book of Philippians and you read this statement from Paul, do not be anxious about anything. It's like, right, Paul, tell me how I can do that. How can I be anxious for nothing in this world? How can I be, quote, worry free? It doesn't seem like that's a possibility. And yet, here in the Word of God, Paul gives us some idea that it can be. He gives us some hope that we can go through this life without having to have anxious hearts and anxious spirits. Now, this word anxiety is a very vivid word. It means to disrupt the mind and personality. It's almost like an earthquake, an internal earthquake that stirs everything up, shakes everything up, where everything is just out of kilter. Something is just not right on the inside. So that's what anxiety is all about. And usually it's an emotion that is attached to a future event. You know, so we're looking at, you know, what we have as our current resources in front of us, and we project that out to the future, and we realize, hey, I don't have enough today to meet my needs tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we start to worry about tomorrow, and then we start painting this very bleak scenario for the future. And that starts disturbing our minds, shaking up our minds, and really destabilizing our peace of mind. That's what anxiety does. So how can we overcome that? How can we go through life not being anxious about everything? Well, Paul gives us a powerful weapon. It's in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So how do we avoid anxiety in life? Well, it's through prayer. We present our requests to God. And as we do, we experience the peace of God. And that peace of God then becomes a guard over our hearts and our minds. And those are the things that need to be protected most of all. So prayer is a powerful weapon against anxiety, against the things of this world. Now, why is that so? Why is prayer a powerful weapon? Because when we present our requests to God, we're making an acknowledgement that God is bigger than any circumstance that we may be going through. And God has promised to cause all things to work together for good. So as we pray, we start to see our hearts trusting in this God that we're praying to, that we can cast our cares upon Him because He actually cares for us. And in that praying comes peace, and that peace becomes the guard for our hearts and our minds. So if you're going through anxious moments, if you're feeling anxious inside, your peace has been disturbed, your mind has been disrupted by the things of this world, today, would you pray? Would you just offer up your cares to God? First, start with an attitude of thankfulness, knowing that He's bigger than your problem, and allow Him to give you peace. That's what you're looking for. It comes as you trust Him, and the way that you can trust Him specifically is in casting your cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for you.
That's good stuff, Bob. Thank you for sharing that on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Speaking of Canada, only about 4 days, 3 or 4 days left before Bob Christopher makes his trek to your fine nation. He's going to be in Langley, British Columbia, September 23rd and the 24th. And we want all of you, our friends in the area, to come and meet Bob and hear the heartening, reassuring message of Basic Gospel. You'll find all the information under the events tab at basicgospel.net. So again, for you folks in British Columbia, Bob would love to meet you on September 23rd and 24th. Again, information under the events tab at basicgospel.net. And again, speaking of Canada, we had a call from Alberta, and this is from Sandra. Let's listen to her question.
Hi, my name is Sandra. I'm calling from St. Albert, Alberta, Canada. My son, when he was about 4 years old, eagerly wanted to give his heart to the Lord. And I was just wondering, now that he's a grown man, does he have to do the prayer again? Or does that prayer when he was small count? Thanks for listening, and love your show, and God bless. Bye for now.
Well, Sandra, we certainly appreciate your question and your concern for your son. And I think that is just wonderful to see. We want to know and have a sense of certainty that our loved ones are going to be with the Lord, just as we're going to be with the Lord. And it's not a prayer that saves. It's Jesus that saves us. And He does so by grace. Now, it is by grace through faith. And sometimes we can express that faith through prayer. Now, as far as your son is concerned, if he was genuinely saved when he was a young boy, then he's saved forever. There's not a kind of renewing of the vows type of thing. If you've been joined to Christ, you've been joined to Christ. And here's what salvation is. And I think this is important for us to understand and to realize. As far as, you know, the human side of things, we hear a gospel message. We hear about Jesus. We hear about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And it does something in our hearts and moves us to respond. Either we respond in prayer. That's what I did at a youth camp. The camp pastor had presented the crucifixion of Christ in such a powerful way that I knew I needed Jesus. And at the end of his presentation, he asked if anyone would like to pray with him to receive Christ. And I knew I needed Christ, so I prayed to receive Christ. Well, that was an expression of the faith that had been put in my heart through that presentation of seeing Christ crucified for me, not just for the world, but for me, taking my sins, dying in my place. That moved me to say, Lord, I need you. And so I prayed. I expressed that through prayer. So that was my side of the story. That's how the story looked to me. But from God's side, he saw a 12-year-old at that moment in time that was dead spiritually, that was separated from God, that was a sinner by nature. And so he took me, the one who was dead in sin, and made me alive together with Christ. That was the grace side of it. God's grace made me alive together with Christ. He redeemed me. That was through the shed blood of Christ. He gave me forgiveness. He poured forgiveness into my life. He gave me a new identity. He called me a child of God. And that was just the result of the miraculous work of new birth that he brought about. I really did become a new creation in Christ, so much so that he gave me a new identity, no longer a sinner, but a saint, a child of the living God. He gave me a hope that when I am absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. So that's what salvation looks like from God's vantage point. So Sandra, if your son truly and genuinely believed Christ, expressed that heart of faith to him by grace through faith in Jesus, he went from death to life at that very moment. Jesus Christ came to live inside of him, and Jesus has promised that he will never leave him nor forsake him. And when your son passes away, he will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's all the result of the work of Christ on his behalf. Now, there are many people who pray a prayer or walk an aisle or do something when they're young. And like I had been confirmed in my church when I was 9 years old. But that's just what we did. We went through the class. We had to go up front, and we got a Bible, and we were confirmed and granted membership into the church and given a box of tithing envelope. So we had really arrived. But I knew that wasn't my salvation. You know, as I got older and as I got to that church camp, I knew that what I did in the third grade wasn't real or genuine. I was just going through the motions. So sometimes kids, when they get older, they realize that they were just believing because their parents told them to believe. It was the thing to do. You were at a church. You were with friends. Everybody else was doing it, so you did it along with them. So you're gonna your son is going to have to kind of examine his own heart to see if he is really in the faith. And if he comes to the point and realizes that Christ is alive living in him, that he truly believed, then he's saved forever. If he realizes that he just did that because he thought that was the thing to do, then it's time to really give your life to the Lord, to receive Christ, to let that gospel message do its work in your heart to the point that it moves you from death to life. So that's only something that your son can really determine. And if he's honest, I think he'll be able to say, yes, I truly know Christ, or no, you know I prayed that prayer as a kid, but, you know, I've just found myself empty, and I found myself missing out on what life is supposed to be about, and I really want to know what that is. So this could be a great opportunity for you, Sandra, just to have that conversation with your son.
Yeah, just
lay it on the table and find out once and for all.
Yeah, I remember when my grandson Bobby was like 3 years old, his little heart was tender toward the Lord, and he prayed with me, asked Jesus into his heart at that time. But you never know at that age whether it is real or not. So when he was 8, about 5 years later, I revisited that subject with him, and he had no recollection whatsoever of that prayer, but he wanted to pray again. And so it was a message that deepened into his heart, and so he prayed with me again at the age of 8. So it was a real thing. And I hear that message coming back to me. I've heard he's 27 years old now, and I've heard that message coming back all these years. So what a blessing.
Yes, indeed.
So you can revisit the subject.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would encourage you, Sandra, to do so.
Yes.
Revisit that subject. If he's not sure, we have some materials we would love to send you, put in your hands. You can pass along, and we would love to talk to him as well. So. Thank you for calling, Sandra. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742.
We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. Well, I've sort of, with all that's been said, I sort of have trouble remembering my question, but it has to do with I don't quite understand God softens the wax of somebody and hardens the same sun that softens wax hardens clay.
Yeah. Okay, Mary Jo. That's usually a question when it comes to the discussion of predestination.
Yes.
Or election, and you know, it's I think it's just an illustration, or is.
Yeah, I don't think that actual phrase is in the Bible, but it is a descriptive reality. Where it comes from originally is, you know, when God sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And he comes back to God, and God tells Moses, well, I'm going to harden his heart. Well, the process of hardening his heart could have been stopped, and Pharaoh's heart could have been made soft if Pharaoh had said to God, yes, you are the one true God, and all of my gods here in Egypt, and in fact, myself as the ultimate God of Egypt, are false. But because God kept coming to him and saying, I am God, you're not, these are my people, let them go. And every time that Pharaoh said no, his heart got all the more hardened. And then finally, in the story, you find out that he and his officials hardened their hearts. I mean, it became a group hardening at that point. God's message to him was the same as it is to everyone. If you will accept me, and in our day, in the form of Jesus Christ, if you will accept Jesus Christ, I will soften your heart. I will replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And when we resist that, and we say, no, Lord, I'll do it myself, I'll do it myself, it hardens our hearts. It makes it harder for us to choose the right thing because we keep rejecting the right thing. And you see it again in Romans, where Paul talks about Jews and Gentiles, and have the Jews been lost forever because they rejected Jesus? And Paul's ringing answer is, of course they haven't been lost forever. They experienced a hardening of their hearts, but it's temporary because they kept rejecting Jesus. The beautiful thing about our God is that he never stops coming to us and saying, will you accept me? Will you let me be your Savior? Will you let me change your life from the inside out? It's only up until the very point when we die that our hard heart at that point can't be softened. But any time up to that point, the hard heart can be softened, because that's the grace of God. He's always initiating to us, always was initiating to Israel, always was initiating to the Gentiles. If we will just accept him, that hardness goes away and is replaced by the love and grace of him.
Yeah, it's another way.
Well, I remember reading that in my Bible, because the Bible said, well, who are you to talk back to God, oh man?
Right, that's
at
exactly.
It was in my Bible. Maybe it's not in yours, but it was in mine.
Well, that verse is there, but it doesn't say specifically that it softens wax and hardens clay. That's not in the Bible. That's just an illustration to try to explain what is in the Bible. The gospel itself is not a neutral message. It doesn't
Correct.
Leave you just sitting on the fence. It's a message that reaches down into the heart, that is proud and wants to remain proud. That heart is going to be hardened even more than it was before. To the heart that is humble, that message is going to soften it even more, to the point it will receive, that heart will receive the good news about Jesus. So that was just an illustration that a lot of theologians and pastors and ministers have used along the way to help explain the nature of the gospel.
Yes.
And the nature of man's heart. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Well, he's delivering the gospel message to both, and the reason that a proud man won't receive it is because he doesn't think he needs it. And so his response will be a response that will make his heart even harder to the gospel message than what it was before. The man that is humble, he will be softened, and he will experience a change of heart through the power of the gospel. So,
yeah.
Mary Jo, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, and for you folks in Langley, British Columbia, that area, Bob Christopher is going to be at the King Center this coming September 23rd and 24th. And, of course, that's about 4 days away. We encourage you to come and meet Bob. He'd like to meet you. Again, that's the King Center in Langley, September 23rd and 24th, just the end of this week. Information available under the Events tab at basicgospel.net. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks. Let's go to...
We had a call from an anonymous listener, and let's listen to that call right now.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question regards infant baptism, and if that is an that is sufficient to see a concern so as to leave a congregation or a body representing Christ. My guess is not sufficient. However, to be interested in your input on that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, as far as infant baptism is concerned, there's no place in the Bible that really supports that.
No.
There are numerous denominations that have chosen to use that. I was baptized as a baby. I remember it well.
I don't at all.
But I think it's a point where you need to go and actually talk to the pastor.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of churches that will do infant baptism, and what they mean by that is really just baby dedication.
Yeah.
You know, that we as a church are going to jump in and help this family raise this baby in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so that's a positive statement that the church is making, that we want to raise this child, not only the parents, but the community of the church members. We want to raise this child to grow up knowing the gospel message, knowing the ways of Christ, so that at a point in their future, they can make the decision to receive Christ and to be made new through the gospel message. There are others that believe that infant baptism actually grants them entry into the kingdom. It's kind of like a new birth. So you will need to talk to the pastor and find out exactly what he means about infant baptism. If he thinks that's the way into the kingdom of God, then he's not teaching what the Word of God teaches, because the Word of God says very clearly you must be born again. And new birth doesn't come through being dunked or immersed in water or sprinkled with water, as happens in infant baptism. New birth doesn't happen like that. New birth is a spiritual thing. It's being born again of the Spirit of God. Now, baptism is supposed to celebrate that event. There's the spiritual baptism. That's the real baptism. That's where new birth happens and where we're placed into the body of Christ. And then once that happens, we celebrate that through baptism,
right,
saying to the folks that we love in our church that we have been identified with Christ in his death and his burial and in his resurrection. And that is a celebration for the individual. It's a celebration for the church to rejoice in what God has done in that person's life.
Absolutely. Well, we would love to hear from you, friends. If you would like to either record a question by going to our website, basicgospel.net, and clicking the radio menu, you'll find an on-air question link at that particular spot. Or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call this same number, 844-322-2742, whichever one you feel is the most appropriate and easiest to handle, 844-322-2742. And again, that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, day in, day out, as we say. Also, I want to remind you once again, those of you who listen in the British Columbia area, Bob Christopher is going to be there. It's actually the next stop on the Simple Gospel Tour. In Canada, Bob Christopher speaking at the King's Center in Langley, British Columbia, on September 23rd and 24th. And we want all of you, our friends in the area, to come meet Bob and hear the heartening, reassuring message of Basic Gospel. You'll find all the information under the events tab at basicgospel.net. So for you folks in British Columbia, Bob would love to meet you September 23rd, 23rd, and 24th. That's just 4 days away. Bob, it's going to be a great time. I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting a lot of our friends there, and thankful to Rod McLeod, who's put the event together. He leads our Basic Gospel Canada outreach.
He is a
delightful gentleman.
Wonderful.
A gentleman that really knows his Lord and Savior. And
yeah.
So I'm thankful to him and really looking forward to a great time in Canada.
Yeah. Well, friends, go to the events tab at basicgospel.net for all the information. Come meet Bob. It's going to be a great time. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.